Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We're getting on through June. June 24th, as a matter of fact. It's a lovely Thursday, and we got plenty to talk about. I'll tell you what, it was a lovely performance last night from one Trae Young. This dude just keeps gaining more and more respect when it comes to that of the whole NBA nation. My Lord, John Martin, last night he's out there shimmy shaking, then hitting the shot. He's out there throwing alley-oops off backboards to John Collins. The man got so much swagger. And when the smoke cleared, he'd scored 48 points, added 11 assists, and for the third straight series, the Atlanta Hawks opened it up with a road win. My goodness, the Atlanta Hawks, and my goodness, Trae Young. How about that? The audacity of this young man. A young man whose nickname you don't approve of, by the way, Ice Trae. Mm-hmm. You see it, a lot of kids, John, they're doing the Ice Trae right now today. I see it sort of catching on. I don't know it's something you're going to be able to stop.
Yeah.
Just like the Milwaukee Bucks last night couldn't stop him with his drop coverage and every other wrong thing they did. How about the Atlanta Hawks?
Barack Obama wrote about this. He wrote about this book in his book in 2004, The Audacity of Hope.
Mm.
That is what the Atlanta Hawks have.
Did you read that book?
I did actually read that book. I have that book, The Audacity of Hope. So thank you very much. Well read over here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a one-trick pony. I don't just turn on basketball and drool all over myself.
I'm somewhat impressed.
Yeah, so I have the paperback, by the way, brother. Paperback's always better than hardcovers, in my opinion. You get a better feel.
I got
feel.
The hardcover, no.
Yeah.
You want a more classic.
That's right. But that's what the Hawks have, man. The Hawks have the audacity of hope. And this is their third straight game one victory on the road in this playoffs, and it's amazing. It really is. The Bucks were 8-point favorites last night.
Ridiculous.
And the Hawks did not give a damn. The Hawks did not care one
he
bit.
He doesn't give a damn.
I saw somebody in Tunica put down a bet at, I think, I want to say Gold Strike Horseshoe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Horseshoe.
Okay.
$950,000, okay?
What?
For the Milwaukee Bucks to advance. Now, that only pays $180,000, right? So you're risking damn near $1 million to win $180,000. Which, I mean, $180,000 is a lot of money, but you have to put up $950,000. Point is, he's sweating today. He thought, oh, this is free. And it, look, they may well end up winning the series, right? The Bucks may end up, you know, winning three.
They
know.
Better.
But my goodness, it ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy because just when you feel like the Hawks are going to sort of come back down to earth.
Yeah, be who they're supposed to be, a five seed,
I mean, dude,
in the freaking Eastern Conference Final.
On 2K21, you know, when you get online, you play online, there's – three tiers, right? Mm-hmm. There's the one tier, which has the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks and everybody else. And there's tier two, which has the Memphis Grizzlies and the Washington Wizards and all them. Dude, the Hawks are in tier three on 2K21.
I know.
I mean, it makes no sense what they are doing right now.
This was an 11th place team at one point before McMillan takes it over.
And they are up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. It is quite frankly remarkable. It really is. And so we'll get into all that today. We got a big show planned for you today. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us from Odyssey.
Hey.
Get his thoughts on what the Hawks are doing. Talk to him about the Phoenix Suns and Los Angeles Clippers. Game three is tonight. It's going back to L.A. We'll get his thoughts on whether or not the Clippers can win one, get this one. Feels like if they don't get this one, it's probably over. Chris Paul intends to play.
Yep.
So we'll get into all that with Brian Scalabrine at 11:20.
Take a lot, playoff Paul.
Five. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins. He is going to hop on the show, and we'll talk to him about everything.
Top five Memphis dishes, probably.
Top five Memphis dishes.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I heard Jeffrey Wright have a Topps burger on there.
Well, he should have. His list
that's
was
somebody
correct.
That knows his stuff.
Yeah, because he wasn't. He
heard was, you, J-Dub.
J-Dub was not beholden, you know, by any
exactly
any sort of allegiances or, you know,
he
business
just
partnerships.
Knows quality.
That's exactly right.
The best.
So we'll get into all that with Jeff Calkins at 125. But you turn on Get Up today, they're ranking things. They're ranking best young players under 25
yeah,
today.
Greeny likes to do that.
And I guess they settled on
one of his go-tos.
They settled on Luka as number one, which, of course.
You know what's not one of Greeny's go-tos on the side note? Is going to his partner and telling him what's going on.
Oh, really?
I guess you haven't read.
No, I mean, I don't.
Mike's interview with The Athletic.
No, I have not.
Golic's interview.
Oh, really? Golic just threw him under the bus?
I wouldn't say threw him under, but he let us know. What, you know, what we always thought and confirmed was always rumored is that at the end there wasn't the same. I mean, we had Greenberg on. He basically told us, I don't talk to him. But it was all silent. Yeah, we'll get into it later. Golic okay. had an interesting interview with Richard Deitch.
Yes.
Of the Athletic.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. But they had the
Greeny was ranking things as well this morning.
They had the top five of youngest players under 25.
Yeah. John Morant should have been on your list, Mike Greenberg. By the way,
I'm assuming it was Luka.
Doncic, Trey, Donovan, and Devin.
So Josh should be above who?
He should be. It should have been a five-man list rather than a four.
Okay, that's fair.
That's
yeah.
the way to put that.
Yeah, it's weird to just settle
because they're
four.
All 24 or younger.
Yeah.
Or younger than 25. Yeah.
So they did. They did some rankings on Get Up today. Then we turn on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeff Calkins is doing rankings.
Which you guys should be listening to every day.
He ranked Thank Memphis you. Dishes. You know, I'm like, hey, I mean, that's a, like, you know, there's
Everybody's
so many
got
dishes.
An opinion on dishes.
There's so many dishes
a
in
lot
the city
to
of Memphis.
Consider.
But look, when it comes to players under 25, it's pretty obvious, right? It just is. One of the things that has not been ranked, and really, let's be honest, should have been ranked. Over the years, because we have one of the best scenes, or once upon a time did. I don't know if we do anymore. I'm not as up on it as I once was. But once upon a time, I mean, Memphis had one of the absolute best club scenes.
Brad, you might want to get some percolator ready.
In the country, okay?
Mm-hmm. So, I came up on it.
So since today has become rankings day, we want to participate too. We want to join in.
The J&J version.
And this is, of course, ranking the clubs. Now, here's the thing. We talked about this before
Great
the show.
Great clubs in Memphis history. I don't know that we've ever had so much fun before a show.
Yeah, we talked about this before the show, though. And we almost came to a – I mean, we did come to a conclusion that you almost have to rank Memphis clubs by the demographic, right? Like, there's white clubs and then there's black clubs.
It's no secret that Memphis is racially polarized, but there have been some, as we came to the agreement –
A blend.
Where you could get some of both. So a third list probably necessary in the sense that, well, if I'm covering the black clubs and you're covering the white ones for sure,
yes.
Then there have been some where
yes.
you got both.
Yeah, so yes. Brad is going to handle the white clubs portion of this.
Yes, when did you appreciate his help. With
Brad,
this.
When did you get...
I wasn't in the prep show. I'm going to be like Greenberg.
When did you get to...
I
want
secrets.
You to speak from your heart.
When did you get to Memphis? What year?
2004.
Okay, so I feel like that was like prime... That would have been prime club time. What was the go-to spot for you back then?
What was it, the plush club in 152?
You did not go to the plush club.
Did you ever walk up in the
I've
plush
judged,
club?
Absolutely.
I'm saying if you're going out on a night.
Me?
On the,
yes.
A night on the town, you're going to the plush club.
I had a mix show on Snap 94.1. Me and CJ go down there, and we were hanging out at the plush club.
So plush club.
Now, this was the last year of the plush club, mind you. It was like a historic event.
Thank you, Joey. Joey helped put it in. The plush club, absolutely.
Mark Goodfellow is down there. He judged there was a contest, if you will, down there. I can't really speak to what the contest was.
Yes.
Good times, though, back then.
We never caught you at the cockeyed camel, Brad.
That's where I proposed to my wife, the cockeyed camel.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that was.
Brad's got his own list.
Was that a club or more of a bar?
No, it was a bar. And the bar used to be right there where that hotel is, where Poplar meets 240.
Yes.
And there's a mess there. You know, not a mess, but there's just a lot of traffic because you got a couple of hotels there. There's a Sheridan in there now that's really nice. And, of course, what's the beautiful restaurant right there? It's right there.
Fleming's.
No. We're talking about where the old Cockeye Camel used to be there. It's now called, what is that restaurant? It's right there by that Sheraton, by the Holiday Inn, or that's now a Marriott, and there's a Sheraton there. You know what I'm talking? There's some apartments.
I wish I knew. I wish I knew what the restaurant was. I do not know the name of it. But
okay, it's right across from where, you know where Ridgeway is? If you hopped the highway, or you hopped Poplar.
Oh, it's Capitol Grill. Is that it?
No. You're by the highway there. What is that restaurant? That's where the Cockeye Camel was anyway.
I can't remember. I'm trying to
I got to figure out what that restaurant's.
Right now.
You got Capitol Grill in my mind right off that hop, so that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Maybe that's not. Maybe
it's
not
restaurant what he's talking about. Everybody on the radio, listen to the radio, screaming right now at their car because they know it. I'll figure it out here.
Hold but on. In the meantime, while Brad is figuring out that name of that restaurant, we thought, you know, it
River
would be,
Oaks.
Oh, River Oaks, yes.
River Oaks is where the old Cockeye Camel used to be.
Okay, there you go. River Oaks is a nice
proposal
there.
Yes.
Interesting.
Actually, they moved. I proposed at the new one because our first date was the Cockeye Camel, and then a year later, I went to the new Cockeye Camel, and this is over there at Ridgeway.
Yes.
There used to be a Mexican restaurant there. It was over there what's the restaurant? There's another restaurant. And I said, you need to get the upgrade, so we went to the nice fancy restaurant around the corner.
Yeah, my man Rosenberg took me to River Oaks. I went there for the first time, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. Incredible atmosphere, no question
about
it.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Okay, so look.
Sorry.
There are white clubs and there are black clubs. And then there are, you know, if you drew a Venn diagram, you might have a little bit of a crossover. So, Jason, you know, one of the things that I've learned in the prep for this segment is that, my God, you lived this life. You know, I dipped my toe in, man. I wasn't a huge clubber, but you were.
Before I was saved.
Because you took the assignment very seriously. Mm-hmm.
Denim and Diamonds is going to be in there.
Oh, you better believe it. I would stand outside in long lines to get up in Denim and Diamonds. Mm-hmm. That's how good the atmosphere was there. If I'm going top five.
Wow.
And believe me, it's hard to narrow it down. Because you're talking about a long life of clubbing there for a while before I got out. Denim and Diamonds is going to be high on the list. Okay. Let's go. Matter of fact, because I had some of my best times there. More, that was when I was not a wallflower. I was out on the scene. I've told you about it before. Would have crowds gathering around us.
Around
me and my guy D. Neil. Yeah. I consider that among those
that,
best times.
So I
would put Denim and Diamonds up there. Right, and again, it was much like a couple of different clubs because you can go in a whole other section and it'd be completely separate from the music you're getting in the other one. So Denim and Diamonds is up there. Here's one. The Premier on American Way. At one point was also level 2.
Yeah.
Another one that you had to go up for, and place was dark, you know, could do your business in there. Yeah. Again, back then, man, you had to have some Mac to you. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't as easy as y'all just sliding into these DMs. You actually had to have a couple lines for the women if you wasn't out there shaking a tail feather, you wasn't out there winning them over with your moves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all don't. No, y'all don't. Because I got the feeling I've got two non-dancers up in here.
Oh, I definitely. Lean back is what I would do.
Right, y'all do some of that easy stuff.
Yeah.
Right. 616.
Not familiar.
Okay. Wilbur, we've talked about this. He tweets at you occasionally.
Okay.
The owner. 616 was where it was at. Anything that you want in this city, in all walks of life, John, 616 could be one that's on for both white folks and black folks. They'd had all levels. The basement was dark, had its own dance floor. You'd have the ravers down there with that glow-in-the-dark mess. Do you ever learn that dance?
Yeah.
Do you know it?
I mean, I don't know it.
The rave dance, it's only like
one. I'm familiar with it.
They use glow sticks to get all crazy with you, and you know that something's going on with them and what they're seeing. But then upstairs, you had the more normal level. Then you could take it out. They had a whole secondary type club on the side of the thing.
But this was different than 152, though.
Yes. It was 152 was on Beale. Yeah. 616 was on Marshall.
Gotcha.
Okay, Marshall Avenue. You know, down there by the CA, not far from the CA down there. You could smell, not far from the bread, for you could smell the bread in the air, okay? 616 on the list. I've mentioned this before, and I was sad to see it go. It was my more grown up, when I wanted to be grown and sexy, you go to the Isaac Hayes' spot.
Oh.
And it was much more refined. right? And you had all of it. But the way it was set up, the nice dance floor in the middle, that was the spot you went when you went and wanted to be grown and sexy. Not sweating like we were doing on some of these other ones.
No doubt.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then
you were going hard.
I've got a couple more. It's hard to keep them in the five. There was one called Empire that was the old Tiffany's strip club there. They cleaned
out
and made it a club. And I tell you what, we had some great nights in there as well.
Yep.
Some great nights in there as well. Headliners out on Brooks Road. That's one for the old school.
Headliners.
Y'all wouldn't know a damn thing about that because
I
bet you've never been anywhere on Brooks Road in Whitehaven.
I'll be honest. If I'm on Brooks Road, I'm going on vacation.
Wild Bill's.
Yeah.
Wild Bill's in North Memphis was a place you could stay all night long and wouldn't serve you nothing but a 40. Okay? So you had to be prepared for that. And then Plush Club. Come on. Who hadn't heard of that?
I have Plush on my list.
Plush Club is.
I just had a hard time seeing Brad.
You missed Senses. Wearing your Senses derby hat. Is not on your list.
Senses was coming up as I was kind of fading out.
You were fading out at that time.
As I was sort of fading out.
Surprised
so that's why I don't
Senses
have it.
Wasn't on the list.
And I'll go a little bit further. Aqua Lounge.
Let him get all of his clubs. I told you, this
Station.
Is his life.
Loaded with these
Aqua
things.
Aqua Lounge, Trolley
Holy
Station.
Holy crap, you
I had a bunch of them on here. Like I said, hard to
what
get
are the top
down
five,
to
though?
Five.
You got to bullet it down. You mentioned a lot of those. You said we're doing top five.
He doesn't want to do a top five.
Those last ones were notables.
Notables.
Those first
honorable
five
mention.
Was strong.
Yeah, think of it like GP's top 25 and four. You know what I'm saying?
This gets like, that's memories.
That, and that represents almost all over town
right.
That I had at one point, whereas I kind of sense from you guys it's mostly hanging out in one area. I had Club 152 on there, right? There were levels to Club 152.
Yeah.
Well, as an adult.
There's different floors to that one.
Like, when I became of age, 21 plus, the most popular, there were two spots for me. Now, it's generational, right? But maybe there's some crossover. The two spots that I went to were Club 152, and there were floors, right? There were certain floors.
Yes. So
there were certain floors you
had to
catch
have access, right? You had to have access up to those higher floors. I don't know that you ever had the clout.
Yeah. So 152, and then like Brad said, Senses. You know, Senses is that's where you
got it in.
That's where the Tigers were at. I mean, half
you got
half
it in
them,
at
right?
Senses.
Now, so I'm saying you're not going to compete with Tigers.
This is going to
Tiger
be,
basketball players up in there.
Not
what
many
I started
people are
going to
remember this because it was such a younger. But my 20 somethings and my early 30 year old people will probably remember this. But there was a place called Hollywood Disco. It was like I want to say it was
not Rayford's.
It was owned by Rayford's. It was very similar to Rayford's, but it was downtown.
With the blue in the front? That is Rayford's, right?
Is it Rayford's?
The old Rayford's over there by FedEx Forum.
Yeah, exactly. But it was called Hollywood Disco. That was what they...
Yeah, Rayford's owned it. I mean, it was old man Rayford
exactly.
in there.
That's
that was Rayford's. Yes. That's Rayford's place.
I don't think it's open anymore.
No. Yeah, the blue turf out front.
But then, number one, honestly, for all white people, and this is just true.
Look out.
You can resist it if you wish. You can fight it if you want. But the destination for all white clubbers, there is only one. And it's Rayford's. There is no other place. I'm just all my friends.
Y'all feel comfortable up in there.
You know that people. If my friends go to downtown Memphis, like after a Grizzlies game or whatever, like it's time to turn up when you go to Rayford's. Like that's where you end up.
It's more the touristy.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, it is touristy. It is, but it's classic.
White.
But exactly, it's a classic place. Rayford's is a thing for me. Love it. Appreciate it.
Silver Spoon.
It gets loud in there. I'm old. You know,
my man Burl said classic soul. That's up there. That's up there, dude.
You've really piqued my interest with this topic, y'all. There was a prior Brad prior to getting married when I first moved
here. I almost can see it.
A wild man.
2 or 3 years prior to Stacy, there was a window, and it was a 28-year-old Brad Carson who had just moved from Atlantic City, New Jersey, to Memphis, Tennessee. And I was all over this town. I was not in a box.
Brad was painting
the
town.
The only club I go to now is Sam's Club. Much different time then.
That's right.
All right.
Costco.
Costco is in the clubs now. Bars are where white folks go, though, right? They go to the Alex Taverns. Yep. They go to the Neil's, where the Fat Man Rocks type places, right?
I will never forget my brother and my father, us going to 152.
Yeah.
And my brother and I.
You went with 152 your dad?
Yes. Dude, we hung out with Les Smith so much because a lot of times you get to the
Zinni's,
front of the club,
right?
And then once
spot?
They see, well, that's when he just wanted to
this
drink.
Man
but
took
you take
his kids
dad,
to the club.
You take dad to the club because the bouncer would recognize him all the time, and man, we're getting the grade A treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother and I, and we were too old for this, but we had more of these as we got older, and it was the wrong. We got into a fight on that 152 elevator.
Yep.
With my my dad trying to break us up in the elevator. Have I told you this story before?
No.
And who was at the bottom? So we get to the bottom, and my dad has managed to break up my brother and I both red-faced. We'd had too much to drink, all that. I know I had. I can't accuse Jeff of that, but I know I had. We get to the bottom. The door opens, and you know who it is? It's Derek Kellogg.
DK!
Looking at us, he could tell that something had just went down there. But looking at us like, he could tell that we had just had a scrap in there, and looking at us like, y'all some damn fools just had a scrap. And quite frankly, it was the right look. It was the look that my brother and I needed, quite frankly. But the, again, the fact that it was Derek, I don't think ever knew that that was Les you. And his kids in there just had a scrap. Because that time, Dad's doing news, right? And by that time, I was not at CA, that kind of thing, okay?
Right.
I think I'd been at the Daily Helmsman to that point. But, man, he looked at us like, y'all folks just got done fighting on this elevator, didn't you? And, man, you should be ashamed of you. I will never forget that.
I mean,
because, again,
the
at the bottom of the
bows,
elevator.
Man.
Well, my brother and I, it would get intense sometimes. It would get intense sometimes.
For no reason.
Well, anyway, brothers, you know, brothers fight hard. They love hard, and they also fight hard. So, anyway, we've overcome that, obviously. This
point. Y'all made
but
it
I
out.
Will never forget it because at the bottom of the freaking elevator is Derek Kellogg when that thing opens up. Never should have put that kind of pressure on Les Smith.
Agreed.
Here's my list. Number one, Peabody
Not
Rooftop
proud of
Party.
Oh, that's a good one for whites. There's no doubt.
That's for whites. Ding it. Ding it again. But you put it on for both.
Don't the after party used to be across down
y'all?
Low in the mall there by the Peabody. So the Peabody and then the Peabody after party.
Yes.
Number two is Senses. Number three is 152. Rayford's Hollywood Disco, you bring up a good one.
Yep.
That I got kicked out of there once for trying to commandeer the microphone from old man Rayford.
Damn, dog.
I was only 28.
Brad was throwing down.
I got into it.
Wow, man.
Look, I was running the buzz, man. We're owning the town.
You have really calmed down.
I was doing mornings on the buzz, man. This is pre-married Brad. And then Alex's Tavern and Neil's got to be a combo five for me in the bars of Memphis.
Okay, fair enough. Now, one club we did not mention is RIP, moment of silence, Platinum Plus.
Well, that's a strip club, John.
It was the holy grail. Didn't it transcend strip
club?
But
it's club? Not. It's like it's right, but it's different. It's a different category.
I might have seen that place once.
I mean, I was too young.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about it because that's a disamerica.
Because a lot of things went down in there.
When we moved over here,
I'm certainly not proud of.
People were excited when we moved to this building because it was still in existence. And like, you know,
oh, wow. You go straight from your shift.
Well,
we went for dudes' birthdays down to CA to go down there with the group.
They would kill
saying?
People. They would whip people. People have been abused in that room.
It was that raunchy, bro.
People have gotten destroyed in that room.
Stuff flying across the stage.
Like what?
Bad.
Yeah, man.
It
bad.
Was like, I hate that I missed out on that.
Destroyed.
I hate that I totally missed out on that, man. Because
that's like J. Cole saying he was too young for Nia Long. Like he was just the wrong generation. You know what I'm saying?
I was too young for Nia Long, bro.
Yeah.
I might have seen a bachelor party there once. He almost died.
I've told you, but it stacked up best in the
Memphis
country.
Women will try to beat your ass.
They want to kill.
They'll fight you, bro. Like and rob you. You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta be careful, bro. It's not just a strip club at that
stage
point.
And you had no clothes on. They whip you.
Not just an act. We'll ask Brian Scalabrine if he ever went to Platinum Plus. No, we. But it would have been open coming through Memphis, right? When he was playing.
Yes.
When did it close? Like 05, 06?
Yes.
I bet he's been to Platinum Plus. I bet he has. It was a stop for road teams, wasn't it? I mean, it was right
on the
highway.
I don't know if you'd have the whole team in there, but you'd have some players in there.
I'm honestly going to ask Brian Scalabrine if you ever heard about Platinum Plus. I'm going to ask him. And we'll do that.
I almost bet he did.
I don't know how if you play in that era and you played in Memphis, you certainly heard about it. But we'll also ask about Trae Young and the NBA playoffs and all that. Brian Scalabrine going to join us on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.5 ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Brian Scalabrine is an Odyssey NBA insider. Love having him on the show. He's going to join us weekly here throughout the rest of the NBA playoffs. Insider Call is brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. He joins us now. Scal, what's happening, man?
Hi, man. I haven't talked to you in, I think, 2 weeks, right?
Been too long.
Too long.
Two weeks too long.
My favorite interview. Don't tell anybody else.
We won't tell anybody. Trust us. Now, we're gonna start this a little off the beaten path, but, you know, you played in the era. We were talking about the best Memphis nightclubs, right? The best Memphis nightclubs. It's changed over the years, but once upon a time, you would probably put it up there against anybody in the country. Did you ever go or hear, when you came through Memphis, about Platinum Plus?
No, I don't think so. I've never heard of the best, like, Memphis being in a spot like that.
Did you ever go out when you were in Memphis? Like, I'm just...
Come on, man. You know I'm getting barbecue when I get there. Listen, when you go to my...
Are you legally obligated to say...
Yeah, I remember Al Jefferson took me to a spot where a wonderful woman was singing the whole night. It was like a stage, and they fed me. I thought that place was phenomenal. I don't remember what it was called, but you had to walk upstairs, and there was a stage. I thought that place was great.
Itabina, that's Itabina.
Is it?
It's above Isaac Hayes, or I mean above B.B. King's on Beale, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's where Itabina. I thought that was one of the coolest nights. Big Al Jefferson taking care of me that night. But
what a night.
Yeah.
That's classy, though.
Yeah, that was good, though. But I never went out in Memphis, no.
Okay, are you, like, did you sign, like, a non-disclosure agreement or something? Like, you can tell us if you did.
No, I would. Okay. Come on, you guys are okay. My guy. I'm not going to lie.
There was
Ben's been to the most exotic places in the world.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Platinum Plus was up there, though, is all I'm saying. I hate that, but it's stuff of legend, no question. Also, stuff of legend, what these Hawks are doing and what Trae Young is doing. You keep doubting them, you know, whether it's against the Knicks or whether it's against, last night, but they continue to answer the call. How are they doing this so consistently? It's their third straight game one on the road in the playoffs that they've won. How are they doing this, Scal?
All right, here's my theory behind it. And when you watch Trae Young play, it's clear he's a confident player. Maybe overly confident, but he backs it up. And he probably had to be that way to play at that level, right? You're 5'11". People have been telling you can't do it your whole life, whatever. But and I believe this. I really do. I think your team takes on the personality of your best player. And I feel like the rest of these guys are starting to get the swag of Trae Young, and they get that confidence. Another guy, Nate McMillan, I've been loving in the huddles with Nate McMillan. He's so empowering to the rest of the guys, empowering Trae Young, telling him to, you know, get everyone involved, trust one another. So I think a combination of all that, and the biggest surprise has been, how come no one has been able to exploit Trae Young's size? Mm-hmm. And historically speaking, in the NBA, you always talk about, in the playoffs, it ain't going to work. They're just going to post up the smaller guy. And I've seen it firsthand, like Kemba Walker in Boston. You know, people tried to exploit his size. Isaiah Thomas, when he was in Boston, at some times, you know, like, he was a phenomenal offensive player, but he got exploited a little bit defensively. I'm not seeing a lot of these teams who are bigger, stronger, better, faster, and all these things are not exploiting Trae Young on the defensive end. So kudos to Nate McMillan. I think Clint Capella has a lot to do with this, but I do like what we're seeing from the Atlanta Hawks. I like the Bucks. I think the Bucks are going to win this series. But I've been enjoying this run from Trae Young and the Hawks, you know, from this entire playoff.
His ability, and I guess Harden's done it and taken it to another level, but Trae Young, this young, his ability to draw the foul, Scal, it's almost like a skill at this point that you need the NBA. We can go back and forth on the kind of calls he gets, because he wouldn't have gotten these, you know, back in the era of Michael Jordan. But is it almost as if you're going to be one of the great ones? He's getting to the free throw line 9 times a game in these playoffs. If you're going to be one of the great ones, do you have to have that skill? Because it's something that Ja looked like it was going to get better on in the playoffs, like he was getting more of the calls. Seems like it's a skill you got to have if you're going to be one of these lead dogs in today's game.
I think you got to practice it. And if you ever watch, James Harden's the best at it.
Yep.
But
yep.
When you always see that offhand, that you know, that the trail hand of a defender, touches his chest and he lifts that arm and gets fouled, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually do believe that that's a foul. I do believe that you're not, if I'm fine with a player putting their hands on a player like that, and then the player and the offensive player can sell it, he deserves the right to go to the free throw line. But I do think, like, when Ja's doing his individual workouts, he should have guys put their hands on him, and he should practice working on that. If he does,
yeah.
Ja Morant, as quick as he is, and let's just say he develops that shot, let's say he's 3, 4, 5% better from three-point line next year, then all of a sudden he's a problem because you're not going to be able to touch him. He has incredible size. One thing I really like what Ja does is that he has those hang-time layups where he just jumps in the air, waits for everyone to land, and then shoots it.
Yep.
But if he can start getting to the free-throw line, you know, 7, 8 times a game, it's not just those shots. It's the way you have to guard him after that. You know, the way that you can't put your hands on the guy. The way that, you know, he will end up shooting the three ball because of it. So, yeah, I think it's a big part of being an elite offensive player is being able to get to the free throw line.
Do the Clippers get a game? Can they win a game?
Yeah.
How competitive can they make this series?
I think they win tonight. I think tonight's tonight they win. I think they lose in five. But I think they get this one. These guys got pride. T. Lou has done a good job making adjustments throughout these playoffs. But I really do believe that these guys will figure out a way to get a win tonight. I hate to say it, I think a guy like Paul George, who I've always really kind of discredited, I think he's going to deliver tonight. Marcus Morris. So I got the Clippers winning tonight. I got the Suns winning in five.
What's the most important part to you, Scallop, Phoenix's success? If you had to pick one thing over everything else, whether it's Devin Booker's development, Monty Williams and what he's brought, and that play he draws up at the end of game two, that was all the Chris Paul effect. Like, what's the key ingredient for the Phoenix Suns in your eyes?
So I think you got to look at a lot of different things, right? First, I think Chris Paul makes them legit, but they were legit last year, you know, during the bubble.
Yep.
Yeah, winning those eight games, it kind of made them battle tested or playoff tested. But Chris Paul makes them a different level. Chris Paul's the type of player that when I talked about Trae Young and taking on the personality of your team, you know, like the Phoenix Suns did some fraudulent and kind of shady things before Chris Paul got there, you know, celebrating, you know, Devin Booker 70 and all that other nonsense, which is fine. Like, I don't have a problem with, you know, being young and growing and all that stuff. But once Chris Paul got there with Monty Williams, like, those guys have been all about winning. It's not about individual accolades. It's about winning. And another thing, we have to mention this, because Rudy Gobert got blitzed by the Clippers. DeAndre Ayton is the man. Like,
yes,
defensively, he is a beast out there. Like, he can guard the basket. He can guard the rim. He's good on the offensive end. You can go over the top. He can pick and pop. So I think a combination of all those things. And, you know, look at the ascension of Mikal Bridges and the way these guys are playing. So I think if you wanted to point it, I would give the maturity of Chris Paul, Monty Williams is the reason why they are able to take that next step.
Yep. I like that.
In terms of the rest of these playoffs, right, like we were talking about this yesterday, there are still stars, right? Like, it's not like this is a Final Four of guys that don't have name recognition. I mean, Giannis is one of the best in the league. You know, Chris Paul, everybody knows. Devin Booker, one of the best young players in the NBA. Paul George, of course, as well. Do you think that this will ultimately be – is it good for the product? Is it good for the product that there is a year where there are not your sort of – like, it's basically not just LeBron or Steph, right? That's what we've seen so many years over the last decade. Is this going to be a good thing for the health of the league overall, you think?
So the way I look at things, and I think with social media and stuff like that, you start to notice when there's good games, like, the ratings really go up. People would tweet out, oh, man, you got to check this game out. Like, well, check out this Atlanta Buck game going on right now. So I'm sure, assuming that the ratings will be good. So when you talk about superstars and you talk about good basketball and you talk about, obviously, Trae Young is an unbelievable performer. So is Devin Booker. I do believe that good basketball, and you guys are basketball fans just like I am. Do I really care if LeBron James is in the game, if I'm watching a really good game? When I want to watch the LeBron win by 15 or a really close battle of Trae Young and Giannis, give me the good basketball any day of the week. And I think ratings are driven by good basketball. I thought the Nets series was phenomenal. You had superstar players. We had a lot of guys out. But it was good basketball. It was hard fought. These guys were laying it on the line. When you see that, I think ratings are good. I don't care who ends up playing in the NBA Finals. But I do think that the I do think good competitive, hard-nosed, people laying it on the line, that type of stuff leads to better ratings. And if it's LeBron, if it's KD, if it's not, I think that people will watch when we're seeing, but will be considered high-level hoops.
How would you fix Ben Simmons, Scal? You take him and sit him on the free throw line all off season?
No, I'd get him out of Philly, I think. I don't. You know, like, remember Markelle Fultz? I get it. Like, I think he got injured and never. Like, Markelle Fultz was playing pretty good before he got hurt in Orlando, but he was like a fraction of himself there. And I think it's just different in Philly. The media is tough in Philly. Like, they don't hold back, and there's a lot of, and I give them a lot of credit. A lot of the media, they pull punches. They don't want to upset the players. Like the Brooklyn Nets media, it's insufferable to see the way that they pull punches. I think it's important for the media to go out there, and that's what they do in Philadelphia. The fans are like that. The media is like that. The sports radio people are like that. Maybe it's just too much for him. I can't imagine why he's afraid when all the accolades and like the bravado that he has. He should be a much better player than what we're seeing. But I think it's just like maybe it's a change of scenery. If he was in some other team and they didn't make the playoffs, like Ben Simmons, he's a guy that can make free throws. It's only when there's the biggest moment that he gets afraid. And, you know, when you're the biggest moment in Philadelphia and you were supposed to win the championship and you don't accomplish that goal, then you're going to hear it from them. And it seems like for him in particular, it seems to bother him more than others. So maybe if he's in Portland, maybe it's not that big of a deal. You know, I just don't know. Like, maybe, and I'm not saying he won't make free throws or he will be. Maybe he's actually not afraid to go to the free throw line in Portland. I think it's like a Philly thing.
Right. I mean, I think that with him, like you mentioned, like the one thing I wonder about and as a player, it maybe you can reclaim it, but A, can he sort of come back? Can he bounce back in the same place? But if he can't, right? I mean, have you not tanked his value by sort of coming out and criticizing him and saying that you don't know if you can win a championship? I mean, I just wonder, like, what can you even expect or hope to get for him at this point?
I'm not sure. I really don't. Obviously, you don't want to sell low or anything like that, but like, if it's not going to work, you know, I don't know if it'll make more sense next year. Maybe they can rebuild him and it'll make sense next year. I have no idea, you know, what to do with that. Mm-hmm. I do know that people value a 6'10 guy who could finish at the rim, who could pass with both hands, who could see over the defense, who's a, you know, all defensive player. Not all of it first team. He's all defensive player. Like, he's like an elite defensive player. So I do think people would look at that and say, I would love to have, you know, to coach a guy like that with that much talent. But I don't know, you know, right now if it's a great time for Philadelphia. If they're trying to win a championship, is it a great time to trade a guy like that? But, and I listen, I've always been a Ben Simmons supporter. I'm a Ben Simmons fan. I don't understand it. You go on the Instagram, you see the outfits, you see the $300,000 cars and the houses and all this other stuff. You got the dime piece and the Instagram model and all that. Like, what are you afraid of? Like, you got $180 million coming your way. Like, I don't, at what point you're like, aren't you like, I won, like, the game of life? I've won the game. I don't care. I just go over here and knock these down. I make them, I miss. What are you actually afraid of when you're living your life like that?
I can't tell you the answer, but I have wondered that very question. What do you think about the Udoka hire in Boston? You cover him. What have you heard about Udoka and how well he'll do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You never know how a guy's going to do, but I know he was a grinder. He's a grinder as a player, worked his tail off to get to the point where, you know, he can make a San Antonio Spurs roster and then became an established NBA player. Not an all-star or anything, but a good player. And I also know he's done it on the coaching side as well. So anytime you see guys like that, I usually feel like those guys are going to work out. He's coached superstar players, and I think Jason, Jalen, and Marcus Smart all gave him the thumbs up, gave Brad Stevens a thumbs up of approval. They worked with him in USA Basketball. So when you connect the dots, A plus B equals C, that, mm-hmm. It kind of makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think Jason Tatum wants to take that next step as being like a Kevin Durant type player. He just got a chance to coach Kevin Durant right now. So, you know, I think it checks all the boxes, and I think it'll be a good hire. And now the Celtics can kind of like move forward and think about this roster and think about this draft and see if they can get this team to be super relevant once again.
Jay Williams, are you familiar with what happened with Jay Williams?
Yeah. Is he that dumb, or that was really, he really got hacked?
Think about this. If I was going to hack somebody, why would I hack them to say that Ime Udoka is a talented individual who has paid his dues?
But come on. How dumb can you be, though? Like, think about, before you Instagram or tweet anything, right, especially something that has, like, race involved in it, aren't you sitting back in the cut waiting, reading it five times, maybe sending it, should I send this out there? Aren't you doing some fact-checking? I don't know what happened there. Something. I doubt he did that. Maybe he has someone running his Instagram and they made a mistake, but I doubt, or Twitter, I doubt he did that because I think he's a smart guy. And I was taking his side with the KD Giannis thing. Now I'm questioning whether he was right or wrong for doing something like that. It wasn't like one coach. There's like been five black coaches for the Celtics. I don't get that one.
Yeah, I think I saw like five of the 17 championships have been won by black coaches. I mean, what are we talking about here?
That was a question of the KD story now.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I just feel
what did you guys think? Like, give me, I can only say my perspective. Did you guys think he did it? Someone else did it? He got hacked? Like, what do you think happened?
There is no way that somebody would hack Jay Williams' Twitter account to tweet this. That is the absolute last thing anybody would ever think. Because it's wrong, right? But that's not that. When you hack somebody, you want to say crazy things, right? Like, you want to put out, I cannot stand working with Jalen Rose. Jalen Rose is a straight bitch. You know what I'm saying? That's what you would say. You wouldn't say the first black head coach.
I think I agree with that.
I think Jay Williams did not know his history. And he got caught.
Come on.
I think he knew his history. He just got awfully. Absent-minded professor type stuff.
He got caught up, you're saying, Jason?
I just had brain fart, absent-minded professor type stuff. When did the tweet come out? Was it when he just woke up? Did he see it? I don't. Again, I think he's capable of having those kind of mind melts there. That's what I think. But I'm with you that it had to be from him.
People get canceled for less, man. Maybe she get canceled based off being that dumb.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Scalabrine here on the show, Odyssey NBA Insider. Hey, we were having this conversation the other day. What do you think about the Olympic team, first off? What do you think about the 12 guys that we've got going to represent the United States in the Olympics?
How's Kevin Love on this team?
He said the same dang thing. Is that a favor? What's going on there?
No, I don't know. I like Kevin Love, too. He's a good dude, man. He's a really good dude. We get him on the show.
Yeah, he hasn't been good in like 4 years, though. I mean,
I didn't get that one.
I mean, he hasn't been good since the last Olympics. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. So, I don't know. You know what I find was funny is, did you see the women's USA and how they started getting heat and like everyone's joining in on that? You know, USA basketball has won like 6 straight gold medals. How can you really question them?
No doubt.
Anyways.
No doubt.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I do kind of feel like Kevin Love is like the one guy that really stands out on that list, but I don't even think he plays for the Cavs, didn't he? I don't even think he played like 10 games, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't even play really last year. So it's the only thing I remember about Kevin Love is when he threw the ball away last year. He said, he basically said, I quit.
Great point.
You know, I don't know if I want him on my team, man. I don't know. The good thing, though, and this is sort of what we've discovered is like, there's not that much competition anymore. You know, like there used to be, you know, you had Spain and you had Argentina and maybe, you know, Greece, whatever. But, like, if there's really no competition for the United States globally in basketball right now.
Is it Canada?
Well, wait. Didn't 2 years ago, didn't they get fifth or something like that?
Yeah, seventh or something in 19, but did we care? I can't remember who all was on that team, to be honest with you, Scott.
It wasn't like the actual guys we would send, you know, to compete in the Olympics.
All right, let me ask you this. You guys figure this one out, and we'll talk about it as we get closer, because I love talking to you guys, and we're going to talk all the way through the Olympics. If you don't take a top 15 player from the United States, so think about it, like, remember Giannis and Luka and Jokic and all these and Embiid. These guys aren't Americans, right? You take the top 15 Americans in the NBA, and they're not eligible. You think we win the gold? I don't think we do. You don't have to give me my
against,
answer.
Against
work,
anybody, you're move. Saying? Against any country? You're saying?
Like, No. Just let's say we don't send our top 15. Like KD's not on the team,
right? So we send our next our next best 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Are we winning the gold?
Yes.
What
country are you worried about? Like, what's the next bet?
I don't know.
Canada's the only one.
I mean, Canada, and nobody wants to play for Canada, right? Canada actually would have a squad, but I don't think Canada could stay within 15 of the United States. I mean, I just think it's more of an indictment of there's such a vacuum of talent around once you get outside the United States. Yeah, because look, you're talking
about because Ja Morant's on that team, right, Scal? Yep. I mean, Ja Morant would be on that second 15, would he not?
Yeah, he'd be 15 to 27. That's Ja would be in that
Trey, category. We'd have Trey, we'd have Ja. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we'd still have a ton of talent. You know, I think you don't think the top 30 of the United States is better than the best 15.
CJ McCollum, in that 15 to 30, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's not
I
in the first 15.
Well, it sounds like you don't think that.
It's interesting, though.
No, I don't. But I guess I'm overreacting. You know, when you look at the MVP, 75% of the votes were for players overseas.
Not
from America,
for sure. But they're spread out. Like if you told me it would be the next 15 versus the world, you know what I'm saying? Then I would say I would agree. But like you got Luka in Slovenia, you got Joker in Serbia,
right.
Giannis in Greece. Like because they're spread out.
I feel like we would lose.
Have we fallen that far, Scott? My goodness.
Why do you hate your country so much, Scal?
No, I don't. Don't do that to me. You know I love. You know, come on. No, I felt like we just sent like the next 15 2 years ago and we got crushed.
Yeah, he's right.
We weren't even close.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was a wake up call.
I think I've always said this. Like, I think there's those anomaly players, like those freaks, like the Durants, the LeBrons, like those guys. You don't beat those guys. But the next 15, I don't think we win the gold, man. We'll see. You might be right about these other countries. I have to look at the other countries. You might be right. I have to look at them. I'm assuming like Spain is good, but they're actually not. Like they're all old now, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's you're kind of thinking like 2004. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, we've things have gotten better for us since then, no doubt. Hey, Scal, man, great stuff as always.
Appreciate
brother.
You, man.
Thanks for the time.
You got it. All right, guys, we'll talk later.
Yep. He is Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey NBA Insider.
Yeah, Jaws on that.
Exactly. Yeah, like he 100% is. Those calls, of course, always brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Like I guess I just believe in the talent a little more in America than Scout. I mean, because here's the thing. Like I said, if you put, Joker and Giannis
Julius
and
Randle on that squad?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Yep.
Like there's going to be some good ones. You're going to have some. It's actually going to be better
than
we think.
This is not the top 15 anyway. There are guys on this team who you would not say are top 15.
Well, Kevin Love is the prime example.
Kevin Love's not top 15, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't put Draymond top 15.
Exactly.
Anymore,
exactly.
He's there for a reason.
So, I mean, we don't have Steph. Reputation. Kawhi's not playing in this thing. LeBron's not playing in this thing.
Harden backed out too, didn't he?
Did Harden back out?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, so it's not even a situation where you have your best. Yeah, he did withdraw. So, anyway, good stuff there from Brian Scalabrine. As always. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here in the rundown. Hawks go up 1-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Great performance, certainly last night, from Trae Young. Get into that. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Memphis' sports station with a legacy of sports in the Mid-South. The flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. 92.9 FM, ESPN. And Odyssey Station.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.